Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope you'll get a blessing out of the message that I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach from the very first Psalm, Psalm 1 in the Old Testament. A while back, someone asked me about the Psalms and how all of them fit into the scheme of salvation, the plan of salvation, the revelation of Christ and the gospel, and they do. Because it's all the Word of God. The Psalms are songs. That's what we call them today. Many of them were meant to be sung. Not all of them, but many of them were. Or you can look at them as poetry. They're part of the section of the Bible called the poetry books or the poetic books. But they're also prophetic in many ways. For example, most of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And of course, that is a very poetic song concerning the shepherd theme that runs through a lot of the Bible. And of course, it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd of His sheep. In John chapter 10, He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. But also many Bible scholars look at Psalm 23 as the second psalm in a trilogy. Psalm 22, showing Christ, the suffering servant in His office as priest, bringing the offering of Himself unto God for the sins of His people. And then Psalm 23 would be Christ as prophet, declaring Himself as the shepherd of the sheep, in whom we, who are His sheep, have freely and fully provided all the provisions of salvation and His blessings. I shall not want, He said. And then Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the King of glory. So that would be Christ's mediatorial office as the King. So these Psalms, they are poetry, but they are prophetic. They're also ways... words of God that teach us to worship and to pray. So it's good to read the Psalms, but we have to read the Psalms just like we need to read all the Bible, which is through the lens, or you might say the glasses, of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and risen again as the Lord our righteousness. And certainly Psalm 1 sets the tone. Now the Psalms, all the Psalms, just like all the Bible, were written by God, God breathed, but they were written by different people. Most of them, or a lot of them, let's say, were written by King David. And that's what Psalm 1 is. I believe it's a Psalm of David, but it doesn't matter what human instrument was used to write the Psalms. But what I'm going to talk to you about in Psalm 1, it sets the tone for all the Psalms. It's the same theme of the whole Bible. And what it does, it divides the whole human race into two separate states. And it's the godly and the ungodly. And that's the title of the message. The godly and the ungodly. And so we're going to see from this Psalm, who is a godly person? And who are the ungodly? Who are the godly and who are the ungodly, that he says. Now, we need to understand that none of us by nature are godly. Now, some people interpret that as being godlike. Well, we can talk about that some other time because it takes too much time. God has attributes that only belong to Him and cannot be given or communicated to any creature or human being, especially a human being. For example, God is immutable. Well, there's no way that I can look at myself, even as a sinner saved by grace, and say, well, I'm immutable. I change all the time. In fact, my salvation brought about a great change. Regeneration, conversion, the new birth, a new creation, new creature. And then there are other attributes that God has that He does give and communicate to His people in salvation. For example, His love. That love, the Apostle Paul wrote, is shed abroad within our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we see Christ and come to Him and believe in Him and then are united with His people, put into His family. Just like you are born into an earthly family and you grow up in that family and you love them in a physical way and in a heart way. When you're born into the family of God, you love Christ and His people. So none of us by nature are godly. Only those who are believers are godly. So let's look at this. Psalm 1. Now a lot of people say that this psalm, when he talks about the godly, only refers to Christ Himself. But and certainly these things would fit Christ. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You might have a concordance in your Bible, and that word ungodly may be translated, or it may be described as wicked. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. And that's okay, but let's use the word ungodly as in the King James Version. It's a good word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that certainly would apply to Christ. He certainly did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He is God in human flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, the perfect God-man. And He walked on this earth. He conducted Himself in His youth and in His earthly ministry. He even sat down and ate with ungodly people, publicans and sinners. The Pharisees accused Him of that. But He Himself did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't listen to their counsel, to their advice, to their direction. He's the one who had the counsel, see. And of course, He didn't stand in the way of sinners. Christ is the way of salvation Himself. He is the way of righteousness, the way of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christ. And He certainly didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Those who scorn are those who do not value the things that are valuable. You've heard the old saying, you know, is that, about a woman being scorned. That's when she thinks that others do not appreciate her worth. Well, that all that certainly could apply to Christ, but it applies to His people, His sheep, sinners saved by the grace of God, justified in Christ by His righteousness imputed, born again by the Spirit, who have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's a godly person. They've been made so, not by their works, not by any supposed goodness in themselves, and not even by their decision. They've been made so by the grace of God. You see, if you're a sinner saved by grace, you didn't make yourself a sinner saved by grace by deciding to follow Jesus. You say, but preacher, I did decide to follow Jesus. Well, if you're following Him, you did decide to do that. But that decision was a product of God's grace. You need to understand that. You see, I'm not saved because I'm better than the ungodly. I'm not saved because I'm better than the rest of the humanity who refuse to decide for Christ. I'm saved totally, completely, 100% by the grace of God. And my decision to follow Him, you know where it comes from? It's a God-given gift wherein he made this rebellious sinner willing to submit to his way of salvation. There was a time I was unwilling. A time I actually hated it. But the Lord changed my mind and my heart. He gave me a new heart. That's what the Scripture says. And so, when we talk about this, we're talking about a godly person is a sinner saved by grace. Now, let's look at verse 1 again. And listen to this. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know what that describes? That describes the whole life of an individual. He's walking. That's your conduct. That's your thoughts even. I mean, you don't walk around blindly, I hope. When you usually walk, even you're either doing it for a purpose or for a destination. I try to get out and walk to get exercise. I don't particularly have a destination in mind, but I'm walking for a purpose. But usually when I'm walking somewhere. I'm going to the grocery store or going to the doctor or going to worship. Walking. That's the conduct. Either for a purpose or for a destination. And then he talks about those who stand. Now standing involves making a stand. This is where I stand. One of the old reformers said, "Here I stand, I can do no more. This is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what drives me." And then sittings in the seat. Sitting has to do with resting, has to do with where you find peace. You see that? Now, he says, blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? Cursed. And that's who he talks about in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. But I'll get to that in a minute. Blessed. A person who is blessed of God is not just a person who has wealth or health. It's not just a person who has a good family, a good marriage. Now, those are all blessings in and of themselves. But you know, a person can have a happy marriage and still be cursed of God. A person can be wealthy, have a lot of money, a lot of possessions, and still be cursed of God. You remember the parable, the rich man and Lazarus? You remember the one that Christ spoke of in Luke chapter 12 who gained so much material possessions that he had to build bigger barns to put his stuff in? He was cursed. So when we talk about a person here being blessed, who is a godly person, we're talking again about a sinner saved by grace. Chosen of God. Blessed of God. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Those who are in Christ are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's the blessing. These are blessings from God. You see, God gives good things to a lot of people. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's been raining here in Albany, and people have been saying, "Well, we need the rain." Well, it's raining on the believers and the unbelievers. That good rain that brings the water. But you see, the difference between the blessed and the cursed is the grace of God that comes to them through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A blessed person is one who's chosen of God, justified before God. That means that their sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. They're justified based upon His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to them. And the evidence of that is that they have been, and they've been redeemed by His blood. And the evidence of that is they have been born again by the Spirit. And the evidence of the new birth is they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They look to Him for all salvation. Not to themselves, not to others, but to Him alone as their Lord, their righteousness. They rest in Him. So when you look at it, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The counsel of the ungodly refers to any way of salvation that man by nature comes up with, and it's any way that is other than or opposed to the way of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if somebody counsels you to seek salvation based on your works, based upon your law keeping, based upon your own goodness, or based upon anything you do or don't do, anything conditioned on you, if that's their counsel and you believe it and you live your life that way, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you see that? Now, those who have been brought by God to walk in His way, which is the way of Christ, the way of God's grace, the way of the cross, the way of the blood of Jesus Christ, the way of His righteousness imputed, they're walking in the counsel of the godly. That's the gospel. God saves sinners by grace through Jesus Christ the Lord. And it's based upon His blood alone, not your decision, His righteousness alone, not your works. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So blessed is the person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Where do you stand? If you stand on your decision, or if you stand on your works, or if you stand in your church membership, stand on your baptism, my friend, you're standing in the way of sinners. Because that's an unbeliever. That's one who, if God doesn't bring them to salvation by grace, is cursed of God. Where do I stand? I'll tell you where I stand exactly. I stand by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my representative. Christ is my surety. My sins were imputed, charged to Him. His righteousness is imputed, charged to me. I stand in His righteousness. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, he said, that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You see, those who have righteousness of the law, they're standing in the way of sinners because the law condemns them. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I stand before God in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed to me. And I'm not going to stand any other way, by the grace of God. But those who stand in any other way stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, as I said, to scorn something is to see no value in them. My friend, the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus, His righteousness imputed, that is the most valuable message that you could ever hear. And if you don't believe it, if Christ is not your whole salvation, you're scorning Him. And so I would ask you, where are you sitting? Where do you find peace and rest? Give you an example of what I'm talking about. You go to a church and you sit down in the pew. You're comfortable. A man gets up behind the pulpit. What does he preach? Does he preach the true gospel? Salvation conditioned on Christ alone, who fulfilled all those conditions? Or does he put the burden of salvation upon you? Because if he puts the burden of salvation upon you and you gain comfort, peace, and assurance from what you've done or what you think God's enabled you to do, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now that may sound harsh, but it's true. Now that sets the tone, but now those who rest in Christ, the only thing that gives me peace is to hear Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The God-man who brought forth everlasting righteousness by which God could justify a sinner like me. That's my peace. That's my hope. That's where I sit, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Now that gives the psalm the whole tone here. Verse 2, it says, this person who's blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, God's law, doth he meditate day and night. Now the law is the Word of God. Whenever you see the word law, don't always just think of the Ten Commandments. That can be referred to in certain contexts. But you need to understand something about the law. The law of God condemns all of us based on our works. So if that's the case, how can I delight in the law of God? There's only one way. The blessed people, the godly people, they delight in the law as they see it fulfilled in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is my law keeper. Christ is my law fulfiller. Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the completion, the satisfaction, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In Christ, I can delight in the law because in Him I have a righteousness that equals and answers the demands of the law of God. And so I meditate on Him all day and night, you see. My salvation. And then verse 3 he says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the fruit of salvation. For the godly people, the blessed people, sinners saved by grace, that comes through Christ. They're like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Isaiah 61 says they're trees of righteousness, which the planting is of the Lord. I didn't plant myself. I didn't create myself. I didn't give life to myself. It's all of the Lord. And the water of life, by the power of the Spirit, His Word, and bringing forth fruit in His season. I don't produce fruit. No saved sinner does. We bear fruit. Christ said in John chapter 15, I am the vine. You're the branches. The life and the fruit come from the vine. We just bear it. We bear the fruit of faith, of repentance, of obedience, motivated by grace. His leaf shall not wither, like the leaves on the trees wither and die in the fall. That won't happen in Christ. He's life. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is in the way of salvation and glorifying God, a right relationship with God. But look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. This doesn't apply to everybody. This doesn't apply to unbelievers now. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff speaks of judgment. It's like the leftover, no count material after they harvest the good wheat. And it's driven away. It's burned up. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. How can I, a sinner, stand before God at judgment and not fall? Only in Christ. Only washed in His blood. Only clothed in His righteousness. I cannot plead my works, my efforts, even my preaching. I can't go before God at judgment and say, Lord, I preached for over 30 years. Well, that doesn't make me righteous. That doesn't save me. I preach Christ. He's my righteousness. He saves me. I stand in Him. But the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? Well, they're the justified. How are sinners justified? By the grace of God, grounded upon the righteousness, the obedience unto death, the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins charged to Him. He put them away. He drank damnation dry. He suffered the full measure of God's wrath for my sins imputed to Him. And I have His righteousness imputed to me, charged to me. And out of that righteousness, He gave me life. The righteous are sinners saved by grace. And then he says in verse 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now that word knoweth, it means more than simply God just acknowledges or is aware of the way of the righteous. That word knoweth describes an intimate relationship, an unbreakable fellowship between the Lord and His people who are the righteous. He knows their way because He is their way. Christ is the way. And God loves His people. My friend, the ungodly are not so. The way of the ungodly shall perish. There's no love from God to those who go through this life and perish in their sins. The love of God is only found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice that brought satisfaction to His law and justice for our sins. That's the godly, you see. And they're blessed of God. They're not cursed. They may suffer in this world. I mentioned the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who was cursed and who was ungodly fared sumptuously in this life. But old Lazarus, he was poor and sick. But when he died, he stood with the righteous. He was a sinner. And he wasn't saved because he was poor and sick. He was a sinner saved by grace. That's the difference between the godly and the ungodly. Now that's basically the theme of the whole Bible. And it carries through all these Psalms. All right. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.